Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Let me get that root beer thing out of my mouth so I don't just go spitting it across the room while I chat. Anything is possible in the doom metal world. Cats, dogs, living together. I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. On this very fine episode, we talk about the new Urban Arts Gallery at the Gateway, we talk local beer news with our own columnist, Mike Riedel, and we talk about Free Comic Book Day coming up in early May. Most of us consider the Gateway, a.k.a. the Beige Way, as just another mall here in the Valley, but it's got an exciting new thing thanks to the Urban Arts Gallery, a brand spanking new art center in the downtown Salt Lake City outdoor mall. The Gateway partnered with the Utah Arts Alliance to open the gallery in the south end of the complex, right near a bunch of restaurants in the Megaplex 12 theaters. The gallery features an array of crafts, arts, cards, clothing, all kinds of displays, as well as a new monthly exhibit on the walls. Slug writer Megan Kennedy sat down with the gallery curator, local photographer Kat Palmer, to talk about the place.
So tell us about yourself and your craft. So what got you started into photography, and just run us through your career. How has it progressed so far?
Okay, let's see how fast I can do this. I just picked up a camera when I was 15 years old, and I'm going to date myself here. I think it's been 18 years since I've, oh man, maybe even 19 years since I picked up a camera. And I started off in film, black and white photography. My high school teacher taught at a college level. He was really progressive. He told me early on that I reminded him of Diane Arbus, and I didn't know who that was. And he sent me to go look her up. And that was in the day before internet, so I had to actually go find a book and look her up.
Like, the literally. Library.
Yeah.
So, I remember those.
And I just fell in love with her. Oh man.
She's amazing.
Yeah, like, I'm nowhere near, I guess there was something I had done that year that had reminded him of that. Yeah, so basically from there, I stayed in film for a long time. I went and studied at Orange Coast College, continued with photography. I had problems with going to class because I just wanted to be in the dark room. And so I would finagle things with my teachers to just let me turn in assignments, and it probably didn't help me in things. But anyway, I eventually dropped out of college and moved here to Utah. And I was out of photography for, I don't even know how many years. I probably didn't even pick up a camera for like 5 years. And then the digital thing took over, and I was really hesitant to do that because film is where my passion and heart lied. And being in the dark room is what I loved. And so anyway, but eventually I did switch over to digital, and I actually really enjoy it now. And I'm actually now going back to film. But yeah, from there, I just started doing my artwork. And at first, I was just taking pretty pictures. People will probably recognize my bathtub girl as a pretty common picture. That it's just a pretty picture. The airplane boy is my logo now. And it was in 2007 that I started getting really political with my work. At that time, thankful for George W. Bush, for he fueled a lot of my anger and passion for my art pieces and art series. Then without him, I probably wouldn't have several of my art series. So
you and many comedians.
Yeah, so I went political realm, and then I started getting worried that I was only being known for political stuff, so I started to back off from that, and then I focused more on women and just women having a voice. I felt like I had a really good platform and good following, and so I started doing just messages, empowerment for women, different things from self-esteem. Recently, or 2 years ago, I did 14 women that shave their heads. For many years, I focused on marketing myself. I think I did like 13 exhibits in 1 year.
Wow, that's
it was
incredible.
Insane. So now, though, I only do one exhibit a year. I keep it real simple, and I'm now involved, of course, with the Urban Arts Gallery, so that keeps me plenty busy.
Of course, so. That's what we're here to talk about today, yeah. This brand new gallery opening in Salt Lake. So have you had any history of curating or running a gallery before this, or is this your first foray into this world?
I actually have. I mean, besides just doing all of my own stuff for so many years before I really had a name for myself, I was having to curate my own exhibits. But I also used to help run the Women's Art Center and do the curating here on Pierpont. Yeah, it was many years ago. I resigned when I started having children, but yeah, I used to do the curating there, so that was gosh, 5 years ago, I think, maybe 6 years ago.
Awesome. So, yeah. And how did the idea for the Urban Arts Gallery come about? And did you run into any snags trying to get this project up and running? How long did it take you from idea to actually opening?
Yeah, and I'll tell you about that. So the Urban Arts Gallery, it's underneath the Utah Arts Alliance, Derek Dyer. And basically, the Gateway approached Derek and said, we want a gallery here.
Awesome.
Yeah, and so the Gateway is going in a really fantastic direction. And so they approached him. It was August of last year. It took about 8 months. It was mainly just, you know, all the red tape stuff and getting things approved. But mm-hmm. but basically, the Gateway is essentially their idea. And Derek started going to all the meetings. I got wind of it. I had applied for a teaching position, high school teaching photography.
Oh, wonderful.
My passion lies with youth. And I decided if I didn't get that job, I would throw my name in the hat and tell him that I would help curate and run things. And so I'm thankful I didn't get the job. And so that's how I got involved. I got involved very late in the game. So I probably didn't get involved until about December. Mm-hmm. So they'd already been talking about it for about 4 months.
Great. And so the Gateway approached mm-hmm. you guys. And if I remember the positioning correctly, you're right on the corner where the little middle street runs mm-hmm. through the Gateway.
It's in between 200 and 100
south. 200 and 100 south. Mm-hmm. So, the position of it is really fantastic. If you're walking by that area of the Gateway, it's really prominent.
It's fantastic. It's where the old American Eagle used to be, and we're right across from Bath & Body Works, and we get really good foot traffic, and it's not even warm yet. I can't even imagine how amazing it's going to be once it's warm, because right now, I feel like we've had steady flow of traffic, steady sales.
That's great.
And it's just been really wonderful there.
So the reception in the crowd has been
well received.
Better than you expected?
Better than we expected. People want local stuff at the Gateway. They want cool art. They want accessible art. And they're getting that in that we have, you know, over 36 artists featured there. We have a boutique within the gallery, and everyone is local. Everything's handmade, and people are loving it. They are really, really excited to just see something that's not super corporate.
Rundown of the kind of art that's featured in your gallery. Are we looking at strict medium regulations? Are you accepting anything? And do you only display, or do you also, you mentioned the boutique, but is everything mm-hmm. for sale? Or?
Yeah, there's a couple things that are not for sale that are just display only, but other than those couple of items, everything is for sale. We're not super strict. We're open, but it needs to have an urban feel, and I think that gets lost on some artists. We'll get, you know, some landscapes that, mm-hmm. you know, keep getting. It's beautiful work, but it's not what we're looking for. We are looking for something that has an urban feel. It doesn't have to be street art. It can be fine art as long as it has an urban feel to it. And we have the definition of urban arts on the outside of our gallery, because some people were like, well, what's urban art? Is it just graffiti? Like, what is it? You know? And so it's basically anything inspired by city life. So it's pretty broad. You know, it can be so many different things. But right now we have 9 featured artists on the walls, including some sculpturists like Tim Little and Brittany Johnson. And we're actually in the process of, in the next week and a half, to be switching out art. We do switch out every month.
Awesome.
We're part of Gallery Stroll. And so this, we just finalized this year's lineup, and it should be pretty amazing.
Awesome. And I know some of the things that make you guys stand out is you've got DJs, and I think it's every just Friday night.
Oh no, so DJs are throughout the week and weekend, whenever we can get them in there. We have our house mix master Kira, and he's amazing. The first Friday of the month, we've got the B-Boy Federation break dancers. They come in and they go from about 6:30 to about 7:30, 8 o'clock. And then the second Friday, we house the Connect. It's an artist networking group. The third Friday of the month, it's the 14th Ward, and they're a belly dancing / hip hop group.
Awesome.
They do some really cool, it's like really modern belly dancing. And then the fourth Friday, we have the modern dance Porridge for Goldilocks from the U. They come down and they do some amazing work, and they kind of take over the whole space, and it's really, really cool.
So. That's awesome. So aside from those, which is incredible that you bring in the live performance aspect and are willing to associate that and bring it into your gallery, what else do you feel makes Urban Arts Gallery stand out from the traditional art scene here?
Yeah, it's a place a lot of artists have been saying that they haven't been able to find their voice or find a spot where they fit in, and they come into our gallery and they think, oh, I can fit in here. I can see my work here. And they get really excited and start applying, because there's not really a gallery I'm familiar, you know, I'm friends with a lot of the gallery directors in town, and I've exhibited a lot of places. There's not really a spot for specifically for urban art, mm-hmm. you know, a place for even graffiti artists to be able to come and really exhibit their work. And so it really stands us apart. It's very accessible. We have everything, you know, we can buy something, I think, for $1 in the shop that goes up to, you know, $10,000, mm-hmm. you know. So, I mean, we have a wide range, and we have some really fine artists that are known throughout the nation. They're really huge, and we're just lucky that they happen to live here in Salt Lake City. And so, but I think that more than anything is just that it's accessible. And without sounding too lame, it's just really cool. So.
So what are your thoughts on the art scene in general? Where would you say Salt Lake needs the most improvement? Where is it strongest? And how is Urban Arts Gallery addressing these issues?
Sure. I love the Salt Lake art scene. And I mean, I might be biased because I'm an artist in the art scene and I'm a curator in the art scene. But I love the Salt Lake art scene. Where I see them starting to fall down a lot is I'll see some of the galleries showing the same stuff over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And you see the same artists being shown at the same places over and over and over again. And I think we need to start finding more artists. This city is so packed full of talent. It's so condensed. Mm-hmm. It's amazing the amount of talent that is in Salt Lake. And so I think you just need to find those people, you know, get them out. Some people are nervous, you know, they're vulnerable about showing their work and putting it out there, but mm-hmm. they're really talented. So finding those artists and getting them to come out, I think, is important, and to stop just showing the same stuff over and over again. A lot of people wondered why my work wasn't up in the gallery, and because I wanted to prove, A, that we could get really awesome talented artists mm-hmm. in there, and it wasn't just like the Cat Palmer Gallery. Right. So it was really purposeful to not put my stuff on the wall there. As far as Salt Lake goes, we have a really strong sense of community in the art scene, which I absolutely love. I feel like other artists, we just all kind of have each other's backs, which is a really nice feeling. This last summer, Blake Palmer and I, we were both in the Utah Arts Festival, and we both had two booths there, and all of these artists came out of the woodworks just offering all of their stuff, because they're like, you're going to have two booths, you're going to need two of like everything. And mm-hmm. so that people were dropping stuff off to us all week. People were showing up to help us set up, take down, and just the sense of community in the art scene in Salt Lake is just, it's phenomenal. With the Urban Arts Gallery, we want to just really focus on making art in all forms accessible to the public. And that's what we're really focused on. We're not like a, you know, we're not going to be one of those prestigious, snooty places. You know, we're going to be a place that just like welcomes you with open arms. You know, we're free, which a lot of people think that it costs to get in because it does look really cool. Mm-hmm. But we are free to the public, and all of the events we hold there are free. And awesome. We want to keep it that way. So
do you have any big upcoming plans for the next, your first year open? What are you hoping to accomplish to get you guys on the map?
We do. So July 20th, we are taking over the Gateway.
Awesome.
And yeah, we are going to have the Urban Arts Festival at the Gateway, and it's free to the public.
Now, we had that last year, but now it's moving to the Gateway. Way better location than last year.
Exactly. Well, when I got involved, I said, there's a few things that we have to see happen, because otherwise I'm not going to be able to sell it to artists, because, you know, we had that windstorm last year.
That was just awful. And so I felt so bad for Urban Display.
Yeah, my few requirements, I guess, I wanted to have it at the Gateway. That was the biggest thing. And then two was that it was free to the public. Mm-hmm. I want it to be really accessible for people to come and enjoy the festival. The festival's going to be amazing. We are closing down the streets. We're going to have 100 artists there.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we're going to have a fashion show. We have Zara. She's one of our staff gallery assistants. She is majoring in fashion at the Salt Lake Community College. She is taking over the fashion area. We have East Hollywood High. They are a charter high school for film. They are running the film festival. We're going to have a student-run film festival there. We are having a beer garden, because that was the other thing.
Great.
We have to have alcohol.
Of course.
So we're going to have a beer garden. And we'll have a really amazing kids yard there. We also have three stages. We're going to have a DJ booth, we have live entertainment, and then we're going to have poetry slam area. And
awesome.
So, yeah, there's going to be And of course, we have live demos. We'll have artists actually doing their craft and working so people can watch it. And so we are really excited for just to have it at that location because we can really utilize the entire space and kind of take over some of the buildings that are empty there, you know, and bring some life, breathe in some new life to it. So
that's great. So if local artists are out there interested how to either get involved in the gallery, you know, if you need volunteer work, if they just want to display their work, and likewise the Urban Arts Festival, how do they get in contact with you?
So there's two different ways. So for the Urban Arts Festival, Monday, April 1st, we will have everything live, our whole month of April. Artists can come and apply to the festival. So we have urbanartsfest.org is the Urban Arts Festival website. And it is free to apply. It's a $100 booth fee, you know, if you're accepted, but we're not charging for people to just apply.
That's great.
Yeah, we try to do things, because we're under a nonprofit, we try to do things just to keep things back in the art community as much as possible. And then for just getting involved with the gallery or submitting, volunteering, our website is utaharts.org. And that will just direct them to send me an email. And my email is just katpalmer@utaharts.org. And basically, people can submit 3 to 5 images, talk a little bit about their work. And that's for the gallery. And we're always looking for volunteers, you know. We are very much volunteer run right now. And we have a few staff and a lot of volunteers that help us just make it run and make it functional. So we always appreciate that help.
The Urban Arts Gallery, to be exact, is located at 137 South Rio Grande, and it's open on Tuesdays through Saturdays from 12 until 8 and on Sundays from noon until 6. For more information on the gallery and all upcoming exhibits, check out utaharts.org. Visitors is a prog alt rock band based right here in Salt Lake City, a 5-piece group that was originally formed in the fall of 2011 and comprised of members from former bands Downpour, Vinyl Williams, and Dust Bloom. The band recently finished their brand new debut album called Nova just this March. This is a song called Millions, Millions off of that debut album.
Everyone.
download Visitor's new record, check them out at visitorsofficial.bandcamp.com. And for more information on the band, visit them online at facebook.com/visitorsslc. We are here with Mike Riedel, Slug's very own beer columnist and the man behind Utah Beer, blogspot.com. Thank you very much again for coming in, Mike.
Thank you always for having me.
I'm just going to suggest everyone grab a beer now, because you're definitely going to be thirsty at the end of this conversation, as I always am, so you might as well be sipping one while we talk about this, and you can hit pause. It's a podcast. It's kind of convenient.
Why am I not bringing beer into this?
We should be grabbing beers every time we do this. Let's make a point of that next time. So, let's dive right in with some news out of Epic, and beyond the news that they're going to ship out to Colorado and make some awesome beers over there, too, it sounds like.
They're building another brewery there.
Oh.
And
blow it up.
It's just gonna help their distribution. And while we're still here, they are modifying some of their current beers with some special experimental hops to kind of just see what kind of
see if
flavor
it plays with the flavor a little bit. Yeah.
And they did it with two of their pale ales, one with Coppercone and one with Hopulent. The Hopulent is already out, and they did that with a new hop strain called. We'll get back to it as soon as it pops into my head. But it's a hybrid between Simcoe hops and Centennial hops.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a very... Mosaic. That's the name
of the hop.
Mosaic.
Mosaic hops.
I knew it.
Boom.
And so these Mosaic hops create a very grapefruity profile.
Nice.
And this newest version of Hopulent is probably the best tasting IPA.
Really? That you had
that's coming out of Utah a long time.
Ooh.
It's really good, and it's going fast. And if you can get it, it's the latest versions. I think it's versions 61 through 63. So that's batch numbers 61, 62, and 63, I believe.
Okay, so it's not like a special bottle. You got to go into Hopulent knowing you want one of those batches.
You got to look for your Hopulent, and you got to look on the label.
Okay,
and you
perfect.
Gotta make sure.
All right.
And it's going fast because everybody's just...
I'll be stopping there on my way home after this.
Everybody's
today.
Just cooing over. And there's a special with Coppercone. And this is an experimental hop that is basically only got a number. The guys at the brewery have nicknamed this hop Lemon Drop. Because it's got a lemony profile.
Yeah.
And so they've added that to this new batch. And it tastes a little different. It's not as citrusy.
Okay.
As far as on the sweeter side of citrus, more on the sour tartness.
Okay.
It's not a sour beer, but it's just the profile of the hop gives it. Anyway, that beer is out right now also, and you'll just have to decide. I think I like the original version better.
Now, are they doing this with an eye of maybe making a permanent switch, or is it just to kind of play with something that they've had for a while, and see how it rolls, see if people like it?
Right now, they're just experimentals. These hop strains are not easy to get, so
You make a couple batches, and then the hops might be gone.
So they'll probably have to work out some deals if they really want those hops. They're gonna have to wait till harvesting next year or this year.
Right. All the more reason to run over to Epic in a hurry and grab a couple bottles of this.
So do that. And this Lemon Drop strain, they're gonna try that also with the newest version of Hop Syndrome, which is a lager.
Okay.
A European style lager, but it's just they hop the shit
got
out
some
of
hop,
it.
Yeah.
And I think this hop strain will work much better with that beer.
Oh, nice.
So excellent. You got that to look forward to in a month or so.
And it sounds pretty summery, little grapefruit hints and lemony hints.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good for springtime once we, hit some serious warm weather and outdoor sipping.
Yeah, I think it'll work well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Nice.
So,
Epic's always got good stuff happening. We also have Vernal Brewing Company opening the doors finally.
Everything's come together. They've got their brewer in house. They've got staff, and a soft opening is supposed to be happening within the next 2 weeks. If you're out in that area, give them a break. It's a soft opening.
Right.
It's a chance to work out the bugs. When Bonneville opened up, had a lot of people bitching and moaning about the service out there, and I'm like, knock it off. It's a soft opening.
They're
working out the kinks.
Exactly.
Quit being such
a
dick.
That's what a soft opening is.
Yeah. Don't be a dick.
Right.
Go in, enjoy the beer.
Sample some new beer.
Exactly. Yeah. Understand if the service isn't great, but definitely if you're out in the Vernal area, Trivernal Brewing Company.
Are they the only microbrew out there?
There's one other also. It's more of a nano operation,
okay.
Very small. It's called the Hoppin' Keg,
okay.
And it's part of the Quarry Steakhouse.
Oh, all right.
So you've got
a couple options out there if you head out towards Dinosaur Monument or Green River.
Yeah, for a town that hasn't had shit for 150 years, now they got...
I'll be curious if all the like oil and gas dudes who are living all over there get into the microbrew stuff, or if they're just gonna hit up the Natty Light at the convenience store more often.
Yeah,
right?
They'd be morons if they didn't.
That's right. That's right. So and yeah, Vernal, support a local business in a small town trying to do good shit with good beer.
Absolutely. It can only help you.
That's right.
If you like beer, it can only help you.
That's right. That's good for everybody. And finally, we're right around the corner from summer here. It's May, right around the corner from when this bad boy's going to air. Beer Fest time all over the place, really, right?
Summer's a great time for Beer Fest because they're always outdoors. For the area we live in, you can hit a few in the state or the surrounding areas.
Yeah, not too far outside the state.
Conform to our shit laws.
Yeah.
You can find some great festivals. Some of the best ones to hit would be June 1st, the Mountain Brewers Festival in Idaho Falls.
Oh, yeah. Been to that one. That's a blast.
I've called that Utah's best beer festival for decades.
Yeah. So easy from here. Such an easy trip.
Yeah, from the Wasatch Front area north, 2.5-3 hours.
Right.
That's an easy drive.
And they sell tickets for that at some of the local breweries, don't they, usually?
They do.
You can literally just pop in and grab a couple of...
And it's your best deal.
It's cheap.
It is. It's your best deal. You get these tickets for $20, and you get unlimited 4-ounce pours, and you get close 60 to 80
unlimited
breweries.
When I moved back to Utah from up Montana way, that was a place where I could go drink all my favorite beers from there, and a bunch of our Utah breweries had their High Point stuff there before they started getting into our liquor stores. It was great to taste all these things you didn't get here.
And you feel kind of naughty.
Right there.
You feel kind of naughty being able to have a barley wine on tap.
That's right.
Because you're just like, what? Really?
And there's some great, just for people who don't know, you can stay in a hotel kind of downtown. There's buses that get you out to the racetrack where they do it. There's
free
some off-track
buses. Free
betting.
Buses.
No. You can bet on the horse race while you're out at the Brewfest. It's a blast. And it's usually pretty hot, too.
It's a great time. I highly recommend that festival. Evanston, Wyoming.
That's right.
Has a nice little festival. Usually happens around the 24th of July, either the weekend before or the weekend after.
Yeah.
And that has grown into a nice little festival. They close down Main Street, and every year more breweries show up. I can't recommend that one enough.
Another easy trip, too. Straight interstate shot to Evanston.
Yeah, and drink some of those Utah beers, because you start drinking all those High Point, thick,
you get bogged down in a hurry sometimes.
Barley wine type beers, and it's, it's 104 outside. You're going to be wishing you had a Bow Pills.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure you drink seasonally. Seasonally smart.
And also, you have the Snowbird Beer Festival, which happens on Father's Day weekend every year. And that's a great way to have a nice beer festival and escape the heat.
Absolutely.
And that's a beautiful.
They usually throw room deals up around those little festivals up there, too. So
and
you can get a relatively cheap room and spend the night, because you'll want to do that, a lot of you, or catch a ride or get a bus, of course.
Absolutely. And you don't want to be driving down the canyon.
And it's an awesome place to spend the night, just hang out in the mountains, take a tram up and hike down, whatever, bike, whatever you want to do.
And I think they mix in a barbecue competition.
That's right,
too.
And they get all the locals,
they get
for the most part.
For the most part, they get all the locals up there, and it's those are three great festivals, and there's another big one later in the year. We can get to another time.
Absolutely. You'll be back before we get far into summer, right?
We don't want you planning too far in advance.
And last but not least, we were talking about Red Rocks kind of special beer a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah, the Pardeblom.
Yeah, the one I cannot pronounce for the life of me.
It's Flemish for dandelion.
Yeah,
it's been a collaboration beer with a new Belgian brewery
out
of Fort Collins and Red Rock, and this time it's gone big time. They've brewed up a shitload of this beer, and it's going to go national.
Nice.
And one of the nice things is, it'll be available on the 9th, and you'll be able to get both versions, New Belgians and Red Rocks, at Red Rocks restaurants only.
And are they going to be a? Will there be a difference besides the label in those? Like, is one a higher point than the other?
There will be slightly different. Or? Yeah, they're slightly different takes on the same beer.
Okay.
And so you'll have an opportunity to try those both.
Nice.
It'll probably be the only time in the near future you'll be able to get a new Belgian beer legally in Utah.
In Utah, yeah. Nice. So May 9th, mark your calendar, people. You'll want to get down to Red Rock and hop on that. Well, Mike, thank you so much for coming in. As always, everyone will want to clue in on the monthly beer column in Slug, and May we'll have a new issue out here when this episode hits the air just a few days later, so perfect.
And stay tuned because we're going to be having a special beer issue coming up in July, I believe.
Oh, perfect. Dead summertime.
So Excellent. It's going to be all, the whole issue, none but beer.
And they can find your updates on a regular basis at utahbeer.blogspot.com, correct?
Yep.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thanks, man.
This is your weekly daily calendar comprising the dates from April 30th into May 6th. Yep, it's May already. Hard to believe. As always, you'll want to check out slugmag.com every stinking day. There's new stuff going into that calendar all the time. Exciting events like the ones I'm about to talk about. Tuesday, the 30th of April, Harmar Superstar. A man, I don't know, is he a joke? Is he legit? Hard to say, but it's a pretty fun show if you've ever seen him. That's at the Urban Lounge. Check him out online if you've never heard of Harmar Superstar. Pretty much a gas every time you get a chance. On the 1st of May, Catch a Fire at Park City Live, that venue that used to be Harry O's. Doing a hell of a lot of reggae lately, but Catch a Fire is a good one. Thursday, the 2nd of April, Aesop Rock at Urban Lounge, some fine alternative hip-hop action. While over at the Stateroom, Todd Snyder, a hilarious singer-songwriter, a guy who is as good with telling a story as he is at writing a tune, he's headlining there. That should be a great show. On Friday, May 3rd, believe it or not, it's the start of the Rooftop Concert Series down in Provo. If you ever find yourself wanting a reason to go to Provo, the Rooftop Concert Series is certainly a good one. Great restaurants to check out down there, great music for free for the community down there. At this show, Desert Noises and the Blue Aces are on the bill. That should be a blast. That same night, a two-night show starting at the Sugar Space. It's the play A Behanding in Spokane. Pretty hilarious show. I actually saw this one on Broadway when it was starring Christopher Walken, of all people. The guy who wrote the play is the same guy who wrote Seven Psychopaths, if anybody saw that flick. So it should be a really fun show. That's playing on Friday and Saturday at the Sugar Space. Over on the same night on Friday, check out Minx at the Woodshed. And, of course, you'll want to pick up a brand stinking new issue of Slug Magazine out that day. Saturday, the 4th of May, Plan B Theaters Slam at the Rose Wagner. Always a fun event. They write a play, perform a play, get it all together and produced within a 24-hour period, and you can see the results over at the Rose Wagner. Same day, the 4th of May, the Live Green SLC Festival over at Library Square. Get your green on. You can do all kinds of things. Find out how to zero escape your yard. Find some cool products. Pretty good scene. Sunday, May 5th, the Crossroads Urban Center are hosting a Beers, Blues, and Brats fundraiser. That's at the Community Co-op. You can help out a good cause, eat some good food, hear some good tunes. Not a bad night at all on a Sunday. Monday, the 6th of May, Milk Carton Kids, acoustic duo, really strong stuff. I'm really digging their new record. They're playing at the State Room, while over at Kilby Court, Maps and Atlases doing that sort of mathy alt-rock they do so well. That is your weekly daily calendar for the week of April 30th. As always, slugmag.com on a daily basis is good for you. You can put in your own events for free. Just follow the links there on the website, and for a mere $5 a month, $50 a year, you can add some quality content to those listings. Nothing says spring like a little doom metal in Salt Lake City, and Ninth Zealot are here to bring it to you. The band originally formed in the fall of 2009 as a trio, quickly releasing their debut EP called Articles of Ophidian Faith in December of 2010. The band are currently in the studio working on a brand new album, but we're going to play one of those songs from that debut EP. This is a tune called I Am the Brother of Dragons and the Sister of Owls.
Oh,
Ninth Zealot will be playing on May 8th at the Salt House, along with The Body and Odium Totus. This is an all-ages show, and it starts at 8 p.m. Tickets are a mere $8. For more information on Ninth Zealot, visit them online at facebook.com/NinthZealotSLC. And that is IX. That's a Roman ninth, y'all. Ninth Zealot SLC. Every year on the first Saturday of May, it is Free Comic Book Day, when comic book shops all across the country give away all manner of comics, including titles from major and independent publishers like DC, Marvel, Image, Dark Horse, IDW, Bongo, and much, much more. The event is designed to promote reading among the youth and encourage younger generations to get involved with the comic book arts. Slug writer Megan Kennedy spoke with Night Flight Comics founder Mimi Cruz about her shop and their plans for this year's event.
First question, for the uninitiated, Night Flight Comics has been a staple in the scene for a while, but for those who don't know, give us a bit of background on you and your history of the shop and how your store came to be.
The comic book store, Night Flight Comics, started in 1986. It had construction delays. We opened up in the Cottonwood Mall in 1987, spring of 1987, April, and I always get the date wrong, so I'm not going to say the exact day, because every time I say it's the 18th or the 20th or whatever, it's the wrong date. I don't remember my anniversary or birthdays, my husband's birthdays, anybody's birthdays. So for what it's worth, it's a chronic disease. I can't remember dates. April 1987 opened pretty much just started from there in the Cottonwood Mall. We were there for 22 years. They demolished the mall, you know, tore it all down. We were one of the last holdouts. Plus our regulars were fine, you know, with us being the only store open in the Cottonwood Mall. towards the fall of 2008. Then we opened this store September 2008. We had opened a sister store February 8, 2003 at the City Library. Mm-hmm. And so that was like a sister satellite store. It was never meant to be like a main store because it was a small space.
It was pretty small.
It was really small, but we loved being there. And the librarians, you know, I work with educators and libraries all over the country, not just the state of Utah, so I'm kind of deep in the scene of that kind of stuff. But that's kind of behind the scenes of what we do on a day-to-day basis. On a day-to-day basis, we sell comics to people who are interested in reading. We sell supplies and t-shirts, as you saw, and that's not one of the t-shirts we sell right there that Kylie's wearing at the moment. But, you know, Batman, Superman, the stuff you would expect, mm-hmm. and the stuff that you would never see anywhere else, because I try to order stuff that's not mass market.
Awesome.
And obviously, we do have mass market stuff here, too, but most of the stuff isn't going to be. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I mean, especially the t-shirts, a lot of the t-shirts and sweatshirts we get are ones that you won't see at a big box store. I won't name names. There's several, I think. I don't know. I'm not an expert on that side of it. So yeah, so if that helps, been around for a long time, 25 years, mm-hmm. and heading into a 26th year. This month? Is this month?
Yes.
It's this month.
This
oh, my
month.
God.
So happy
See, I didn't even realize. I just made that connection right now. How bad am I?
What's Night Flight Comics doing to celebrate Free Comic Book Day this
year? Free Comic Book Day.
And give us a little bit of the ins and outs of what can fans expect that maybe have never participated before.
What we tend to do is we're open from 11 a.m. in the morning until 8 p.m. on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. Free Comic Book Day is Saturday, May 4th.
First Saturday of the May, but
first
or May,
yeah.
but it falls on the May the 4th this year.
Yeah,
awesome.
And so, you know, May the 4th be with uh-huh. you is going to be a common theme running
awesome.
Throughout the day. And so what we tend to do is we purchase all these books ahead of time through distributors and publishers. And when we open the doors at 11, and I remember one year we had such a huge crowd that the person that was here getting ready to open the store felt like they should open an hour early, which was a mistake because they were by themselves.
Yeah,
and it was not a good situation. What happens is you get a lot of feeding frenzy mentality, and so we try to like keep people at an even keel, like one per person throughout the day until the end of the day. And then a lot of times we donate a lot of the leftovers, whatever, is to schools, libraries,
awesome.
And different things, just so they can use them that way too. And there are a lot of people that do, teachers and educators, librarians, that use them that way. But what we're trying to do is spread the availability of the comics through as many people as possible. So it's like, if you have 6 or 8 kids, which I found is not uncommon in this state, it's still one per person, which I think is still generous. We're still trying to encourage reading. But that's mostly what we try to do, so that by the end of the day, things aren't gone. Right. And that's frequently will happen with some stores who don't kind of like manage it to encourage people to just limit themselves. I've had people grab 50 copies of one issue. What they intend to do with 50 copies of a single issue of something, I have no idea, and it's not practical to let them walk out the door with that. So I usually say, you just take one of those, please. We have a lot of people that are going to come in, and there's literally thousands of people that come in that day. Consequently, one of the things we also do is team up with artists and writers. We have a couple writers coming, or a couple artists coming in, and they will be doing like free sketches for kids, and hopefully we'll be able to highlight their work too. Brady Canfield, for instance, who does Wombat Rue, is really great, all age appropriate reading. He is a former US Olympic medal winner, and he's also a retired physicist. Cool. So this is his third career comic book artist, writer, creator, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah.
So needless to say, this guy's got a lot going for him, besides just the talented, you know, artistic ability. And he's pretty smart. It's kind of fun. He blew our minds away the other day when he said, do you know what 3 + 5 is? And do you happen to know what 3 + 5 is?
8.
Right. He said that, yes, but do you know why? And I'm like, oh my God. So Nicole was here, one of the girls that works at the store, and she's like, what? I don't understand. And we were all laughing because there is an answer. It's because we're on a base 10 numeric system or something like that. And as a physicist, that's kind of an easy thing, but to the average person, it's like, right. No, yeah. So he's really a fun guy. I really love working with him. And he'll be doing like free sketches for kids.
That's great.
We had some little girls in today that were wondering if he was going to be here for Free Comic Book Day, and I said he was. And so they were like, where's number 4 Wombat Rue? And I'm like, you know, you really should ask him that, because I know he's finished it, you know, and I'm not trying to be critical or anything, but that's the kind of excitement we want to see.
Right.
Because then if you can encourage kids to read for fun and entertainment, you know, this is what we do. This is just for entertainment. Mm-hmm. What we have found from my getting a little bit serious from the literary side of it, or the literacy side of it, is that reading for fun leads especially youthful readers to not struggling to read when they have to.
Right.
So in school, when they're filling out a job application, when they're, you know, all of that, it's a foundation of functioning well in the world as an adult when you get there. And so one of the things that Revo is known is encouraging that will help that individual person, regardless if you never interact with them. And so working with teachers and librarians to do that has been really fun and easy and rewarding, because they can reach far more students and struggling and reluctant readers than we could ever do. Because, you know, we're a retail store. So that's kind of cool to see that excitement and enthusiasm. And that's what we try to convey as much as possible.
Is there anything else about Comic Book Day you want the fans to know beforehand, like etiquette, any rules you want them to follow, things like that?
I wish parents would teach their kids this more. And I mean, I grew up in an era, and of course, I was raised by nuns too. So I went going to Catholic school and Catholic high school. I went to Marycliffe in Spokane, Washington, which is no longer there, and it's a sad moment in my heart. But it was an all-girl Catholic school at the time. They did teach us manners. I did honestly skip out on a lot of etiquette classes, because I was always, you know, you wore skirts in those days, and they always told me to sit with my legs together, and I would always sit like this in class. Even though there was all girls, the nuns thought that was very immodest. So I did not learn everything I was supposed to, but I did learn not to be, when somebody gives you something for free, you don't say, I don't want this, I want something else. I'm really shocked, you know, when we do a movie premiere opening and we give out stuff. People go, do you have anything else? I don't want this. I'm just like, wow, your mama did not raise you.
So well, don't be a jerk. Don't be inconsiderate.
And be considerate of other people, because you're not the only person. I mean, watch out. And I like people to watch out for kids, because they're littler. It's easy to trample over them when you're trying to get your free comic mm-hmm. book. So mostly I try to encourage people to be polite and considerate, especially...
Come early maybe in the day too?
Yeah, they can come early and we open at 11, but we structure it so we're not going to run out in the first hour. So we will have comics... And we will reorder this stuff. So we will have comics awesome. Through until we close the end of the day at 8 o'clock.
So no reason
to freak out at all. But I encourage people to be polite. And the other thing is, comic books are still cheaper than a greeting card. So if for some reason there is no Batman Free Comic Book Day issue that you can get and you're interested in that, for $3, you could still read one. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, it's going to break the bank. We're not asking you to buy a $60, you know, game or something. Mm-hmm. We're asking you to have fun and at our expense, and the publishers and everyone else, we're providing this for fun mm-hmm. so that you can have fun. But we want everyone to have a chance at that. So really just that kind of thing, if that makes sense.
Oh, no, perfect.
Be considerate, be polite, be nice.
But definitely come out for comic book.
But definitely. And there'll be artists here and there'll be, you know, the staff, and the Utah Jazz Bear usually makes
awesome.
An appearance. He's great. He's another guy that does a tremendous amount of work for the state mm-hmm. of Utah that people don't know about, supporting pro-literacy effort and low-income, at-risk kids, doing stuff for them, which is really, he's a modest guy. I think there's a guy underneath all that hair. but generous, you know, wonderful guy. And so I love working with him.
Awesome.
So yeah, come on in, have a good time, and that's it.
To find out more about the shop, visit them online at night-flight.com. And to get more info on Free Comic Book Day, including a list of titles that will be available in all of the local comic book shops that will be participating, check out freecomicbookday.com. Thank you so much, as always, for listening to the Soundwaves from the Underground. And for all things Slug Magazine, be sure to visit slugmagazine.com. Jeffrey Stedman, our local Yelp authority, is going to be coming in the next week to talk about the best places to find a specialty cocktail. And we'd love to hear your opinion on the matter. Tell us your favorite place to get a mixed drink of the very tasty variety. You can either send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. That line is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Throw down a couple cocktails and ring us up. Let us know where we should go get a drink as well. We just might play your advice on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Esther Moronio, Ricky Vigil, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Nalen. Executive producer is Angela Brown. Theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. The main logo and art design is by T. Doan, and the technical design is by Kate Colgan. Be sure to join us next week when Jeffrey Stedman will be in for all that Yelp advice on those tasty cocktails. We'll talk a little bit of Loki cycling as well.